Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review for Thursday, March 19, 2020. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined Coronavirus State, Cases Rise in Illinois, Macon County Prepares for COVID-19 Arrival by Kathleen Foody, Associated Press, Decatur. Three tests for COVID-19 had been completed on Macon County residents Wednesday, with two negative results and one result pending, officials said. The news came as Governor J.B. Pritzker and Illinois health officials announced that an additional 128 people have tested positive for the coronavirus in Illinois, including 20 more individuals living or working at a nursing home in a southwestern suburb of Chicago, state officials announced Wednesday. The additional results bring the state's total to 288 cases in 17 counties, according to the Illinois Department of Public Health. The patients have ranged in age from 9 to 91, and one person has died, a Chicago woman in her 60s who had underlying health conditions. Schools statewide shut down this week at the order of Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. Restaurants and bars also have been ordered to stop serving dine-in customers and stick to carry-out or delivery options. Even with those efforts to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, these numbers will get much worse in Illinois before they get better, Pritzker said Wednesday, at a daily update on the state's response. In Macon County, health providers were taking increasing steps to screen patients for the disease. Decatur Memorial Hospital announced it would open a respiratory clinic to screen people for the virus from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. at DMH Express Care, located at 4455 U.S. Route 36 East, Decatur. People coming to the respiratory clinic should call 217-876-1200 before they arrive. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital said Wednesday it had begun screening emergency department patients for COVID-19 systems in a triage area near the emergency department entrance. HSHS Medical Group Family Medicine Forsyth is also operating a regional respiratory hub. Their hours are 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and Saturday 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Please call ahead at 217-872-0953. Pritzker said essential services will remain open in Illinois, including groceries and pharmacies. He has enlisted 60 members of the National Guard so far for various missions, including delivery of meals to children who received food through their schools. They also could help hospitals prepare outdoor screening areas for people who want to be tested for the coronavirus, allowing separation from other patients headed to an emergency room, he said. Illinois did move forward Tuesday with its primary election, forcing local election officials to scramble to find replacement polling sites and election judges when others backed out due to health concerns. Arizona and Florida voters also went to the polls Tuesday. At the Chateau Nursing Center in Willowbrook, 42 people have tested positive for COVID-19 since Friday. State officials said 30 of those are residents and 12 are staff members. No other details were immediately released. Dr. Ngozi Iziki, director of the Illinois Department of Public Health, said staff at the nursing home and at similar facilities statewide are being screened before they start work to prevent further spread of the virus to vulnerable residents. Facilities also must restrict visitors, Iziki said, acknowledging that can seem harsh to residents and their family members. These actions are not taken lightly and are not meant to be cruel, she said. Quite the contrary. We're trying to take care of our residents. It will take every single person in our community to do their part to break this cycle. Coronavirus, the local response. Meal missions. How Central Illinois schools are feeding kids amid shutdown. By Valerie Wells. Decatur. Vanessa Metzger went to Stephen Decatur Middle School on Wednesday, intending only to get schoolwork for her son to do at home. But while she was there, she picked up one of the grab-and-go bags of food for him, too. I really just came here to get some work for him, because I don't want him to just play video games, she said. This is good for a lot of people. It is. I don't know how many people come out here and pick them up. But it is good, because they might need it. Schools statewide shut down this week at the order of Governor J.B. Pritzker, part of an effort contain coronavirus in Illinois. Buildings will reopen in 2 weeks. Schools have also been shuttered in Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, Virginia, Oregon, Washington, and other states. Several measures in Congress would offer a nationwide waiver so school meals can be offered in a wide variety of settings, such as food banks, and allow the USDA to grant waiver requests expanding eligibility, even if they resulted in added costs to the government. The U.S. Agriculture Department oversees food programs in schools, but it has restrictions on how students can get their subsidized meals, and currently can offer only limited waivers to states that allow schools to offer grab-and-go options. More than two-thirds of the 31 million U.S. students who regularly eat school lunches depend on a free or reduced-price school lunch as a main source of their daily nutrition, according to the School Nutrition Association. Decatur Public Schools is providing grab-and-go bags of food that include both breakfast and lunch from 8 to 10 a.m. at four locations, Eisenhower and MacArthur High Schools, Hope Academy, and Stephen Decatur. It's set up so that families don't even have to get out of the car. Drive up to the signs and someone brings it to you. Signs at all Decatur school buildings direct families to the four buildings where they can get food. The first day, 377 families participated, and on Wednesday, that number rose to 652. District spokeswoman Denise Swarthout said the meals are available for anyone 18 and younger, with no ID required, to ensure that anyone who needs the food has access to it. Meridian schools are also offering meals and take-home packets with activities in all subject areas, too. Our teachers created learning plans for our students to work on while we're off, said Meridian Elementary School Principal Lori Gubert. A combination of something to do each day related to each subject area, working on review, and practice-type activities just to keep them engaged, working, and functioning on the days off. They have something meaningful they can work on, and the teachers are available through email and class Doho. As a district, we're posting things on social media for parents to keep them updated as to what's happening. Parents can pick up meals at four sites from 11:15 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the elementary building in Blue Mound and the middle school in Macon, with Hyde Park in Decatur and Booty Post Office added on Wednesday to make pickup more convenient. The meals are all for students, not just those who meet low-income guidelines, she said. The district had a half day of classes on March 16th, so students could take packets and supplies home with them. But for those who weren't in attendance, packets are prepared and can be picked up with the meals. The work in the packets is nothing new, and parents don't need to worry about teaching kids Common Core curriculum, Gubert said, which has been a concern voiced by some parents. The activities are simple, such as reading for 20 minutes, drawing a picture, practicing math facts they already should know, and there's even physical education activities like do 10 jumping jacks included. Knowing this was a possibility last week, she said teachers had already begun preparing packets and sent some activities home with students on March 13th, just in case. The elementary school handed out 79 meals on Tuesday, and the middle school 59. Teachers in several districts have posted on Facebook that they're available if parents need assistance or have questions, including both Meridian and Decatur teachers. And Gubert said she's been amused by some of the jokes going around. Parents are sharing memes saying they've suspended or expelled their own children from homeschool, for example, trying to lighten the mood. We're all trying to stay positive, she said. The Associated Press contributed to this story. Coronavirus Nation, focus set on $1 trillion economic rescue plan. Associated Press, Washington. President Donald Trump signed a $100 billion-plus dollar bill plus this bill the Senate sent to him on Wednesday to boost testing for the coronavirus and guarantee paid sick leave for millions of workers hit by it. But lawmakers and the White House had already turned their focus to the administration's far bigger $1 trillion plan to stabilize the economy as the pandemic threatened financial ruin for individuals and businesses. Details on Trump's economic rescue plan remain sparse, and it's sure to grow with lawmaker add-ons, but its centerpiece is to dedicate $500 billion to start issuing direct payments to Americans by early next month. It would also funnel cash to businesses to help keep workers on payroll, as widespread sectors of the $21 trillion U.S. economy all but shut down. In a memorandum, the Treasury Department proposed two $250 billion cash infusions to individuals, a first set of checks issued starting April 6th, with a second wave in mid-May. The amounts would depend on income and family size. The Treasury plan, which requires approval by Congress, also recommends $50 billion to stabilize the airlines, $150 billion to issue loan guarantees to other struggling sectors, and $300 billion for small businesses. The plan appears to anticipate that many of the loans would not be repaid. Taken together, the administration plan promises half of the $1 trillion to families and individuals, with the other half used to prop up businesses and keep employees on payroll. Direct payments would go to U.S. citizens only and would be tier-based on income level and family size. The two payments would be identical, with the second wave starting by May 18th. The Treasury outline provides a basis for lawmakers to work from in an unprecedented government response and is likely to be broadened to include additional emergency funding for federal agencies. The price tag for the upcoming economic package alone promises to exceed Treasury's $1 trillion request, a rescue plan not seen since the Great Recession. Trump is urging Congress to pass the eye-popping stimulus package in a matter of days. The Senate plans to remain in session until the third coronavirus bill passes, with weekend sessions possible. But the House will have its own version and for now isn't slated to return until Tuesday, and any final compromise measure probably won't reach Trump's desk until late next week at the earliest. Meanwhile, the number of people infected worldwide surpassed the 200,000 mark. Deaths topped 8,000, but the number of people considered recovered reached over 82,000, according to a tally kept by Johns Hopkins University. The countries with the most confirmed cases were China, Italy, Iran, Spain, and Germany. The countries with the most confirmed deaths were China, Italy, Iran, Spain, and France. Confronting twin health and economic crises, Trump announced Wednesday he will invoke emergency powers to marshal critical medical supplies against a coronavirus pandemic threatening to overwhelm hospitals and other treatment centers. Lake Decatur. Crews begin demolishing Staley Pump House. Tate & Lyle begins safe deconstruction. Opponents, very sad. By Tony Reed, Decatur. The battle to save the historic A.E. Staley Pump House is over. Demolition crews have started knocking down the century-old structure. Enthusiasts who formed the Save the Pump House group had fought hard in recent months to preserve the Lake Decatur building, with meetings and a public pressure campaign aimed at persuading current owners, Tate and Lyle, to change course and let it stand. In an email statement Wednesday in response to a question from the Herald and Review, Tate & Lyle's Vice President for Community and Government Affairs, Chris Olson, confirmed the pump house was in the process of becoming history itself. "Yesterday, we began the safe deconstruction of the Staley Pump House on Lake Decatur," Olson said. "Community members will see the project team at the site for the next 5 to 6 months, as work begins first above the lake level and then moves to focus on work below the water. To ensure the safety of our people and the community, we ask for cooperation in observing all posted safety measures, including avoiding the area of the work." Olson said he had no comment on what the demolition project is costing, although the company's application for a permit with the City of Decatur listed the work value at $935,000, with the permit fee costing more than $7,000. Brett Robertson, chairman of Save the Pump House, said spending that kind of cash could have gone a long way to rehabbing the pump house and saving it for all time. "When you think what could have been accomplished with that amount of money," said Robertson, "if anything, Tate and Lyle had a financial motivation to go in a different direction to avoid all this expense, but they didn't do it. It's a curious mystery. Their actions make no sense to us." As for the loss of the building itself, a unique structure that housed water pumping machinery in the basement and meeting and function rooms above, Robertson said it was heartbreaking. "I really don't know what else to say," he added. "It's a tragedy for the people and the city of Decatur. It's very sad." Reporting earlier this month by the Herald and Review showed Tate and Lyle's move to demolish the structure had been encouraged by City of Decatur officials. They said they feared its crumbling structure posed a danger to boaters and anglers. Tate and Lyle needed permission from the city and permits from the U.S. Corps of Engineers Rock Island District to take the building down. The Corps had been willing to pause permitting to see if a deal could be done to save the building, but Tate and Lyle told Robertson it was not interested in negotiations. Robertson had even tried to go over the heads of local Tate and Lyle officials by requesting a meeting with the London-based company's chief executive, Nick Hampton. "But they said he would not meet with us, and that was it," said Robertson. He said other battles to save historic structures will no doubt be fought in the future, and he said the fight to preserve the pump house had dredged up some valuable lessons. "I don't know what you would call it, but I think some kind of after-action analysis to look at what went well and what could have been better will help all of us learn from the experience," he added. "I was pleased with what we were able to accomplish and that we tried." State Board of Education, School Workers to be Paid During Shutdown, by Valerie Wells, Springfield. The Illinois State Board of Education released a joint statement with Governor J.B. Pritzker and the leadership of school employee unions on Wednesday, calling for all school district employees to be paid until March 30th, as if schools were open. From March 17th through March 30th, all school district employees on the district's payroll will get paid as if the schools were functioning normally, regardless of the district plans developed during this time, the statement reads. The days have been designated Act of God days and will not have to be made up, the statement reads. Districts may require employees to complete work activities, but the nature of those activities will be worked out in each district, with the aim of continuing education, access to meals, and student support. Employees will not lose service credit toward pensions during this time. Schools are encouraged to practice social distancing and hold only necessary meetings remotely if possible. Diocese suspends Mass for now, by Valerie Wells, Springfield. Bishop Thomas Peprocki of the Diocese of Springfield has announced suspension of Mass at the Catholic churches in the diocese and of the obligation to attend Mass until further notice. In a news release on Wednesday, the bishop, who had already suspended the Eucharist due to coronavirus concerns, said the in-person Masses with a congregation present would be replaced with private Mass celebrated by priests without a congregation in attendance. He urged the faithful to pray with the scripture readings of the Mass, to watch online streaming of Mass offered by priests, pray the rosary, and in particular, pray for an end to the pandemic. Caring for the Homeless During the Outbreak, by Danette Beckett, Decatur. Danica Trimby, an associate at Oasis Day Center, has worked for the agency for 6 years. "This has been such a safe place," she said. "It's always been a constant." Although the agency and others like it will be available to the homeless and other at-risk people in Decatur, the services have been scaled back because of the coronavirus restrictions. But Trimby knows they will be taken care of. "Our community is very giving," she said. According to Jeff Mueller, director of the Oasis, the staff serve more than 100 people a day on a regular day. "This is a population with high risk," he said. During the coronavirus outbreak, the Oasis staff has offered limited services from 8 to 10 a.m. daily, so clients can check their lockers and mail, as well as make legal and medical phone calls. "This is the address for many on the streets," Mueller said. "We felt an obligation to be available." A typical day for the homeless may include waking up at the Salvation Army, then moving on to the Oasis for the morning and the Good Samaritan Inn for lunch. They may spend the day at the Decatur Public Library, then the evening back at the Salvation Army. For the next couple of weeks, many of the doors will be closed. The community will be able to keep up with the latest agency news by calling 211, a hotline service run by United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois, with free information and referrals. The agency may be able to help with health and human services, governmental agencies, and nonprofit organizations. Through the 211 hotline service, the organizations are trying to keep up with each other's services and offerings. One of the agencies to adjust their services is the Good Samaritan Inn. Normally, the volunteers would serve patrons lunch in the facility's dining area. "We're going to give them food out the door," said Good Samaritan Inn operations manager Ben Frazier. Hot foods will be served for the next few days, such as spaghetti and garlic bread. The staff will utilize the perishables as well. "Then, we will hand out sack lunches afterwards," Frazier said, "about the next step after the hot food is gone, like lunch meat and peanut butter, but that's our last resort." Frazier and the staff are accepting donations of to-go containers and Ziploc bags, as well as food such as bread, sandwich meats, cheese, canned or bottled beverages, and individually packaged chips. "If they can't donate the items, monetary donations are accepted," Frazier said. Because the staff is no longer utilizing any help from individuals over the age of 60, they are also running short on volunteers. Those ages 16 and older are invited to assist in preparing and serving the Good Samaritan patrons. The staff continues to practice the same sanitary procedures they always have by using gloves, sanitizing door handles, and other procedures. "And we keep contact with patrons at a minimum," Frazier said. The patrons are also able to use the portable hand washing stations located outside of the building. Since the coronavirus updates, the Salvation Army has continued the programs with a few changes. The shelter is ongoing with day-by-day changes. The current hours for the men's shelter and cold cots have remained the same, serving 35 or more men a night. "We have to be doing everything we can to help them and still provide care," said Kyle Karsten, Salvation Army Development Director. The directors are telling the clients and staff to observe intentional procedures using extra care and healthy habits. "It's a different day," Karsten said. "The clients are following the staff's suggestions and helping where they can," Karsten said. "They are gracious and willing to help," he said. Karsten likened the agency to a family of 30 to 40 men and staff. "We have to keep ourselves healthy and safe and nurtured," he said. Information on homeless services. For those interested in learning more about services for homeless and at-risk residents, call the 211 hotline. More demand, fewer volunteers at food banks as concerns continue. By Danette Beckett and Scott McFurtridge, Decatur. With the new coronavirus leaving many people at least temporarily out of work, food banks and pantries across the U.S. are scrambling to meet an expected surge in demand, even as older volunteers have been told to stay home and calls for social distancing have complicated efforts to package and distribute food. "We are doing everything verbally," said Ed Bacon, executive director of the Northeast Community Fund in Decatur. "There is no exchange between the volunteers and clients, and the volunteers are all gloved up." The food pantry broke a record on Monday when it served 265 and nearly doubled that total on Tuesday, with 445 families receiving food, Bacon said. Food banks have for years been increasing the amount of food they deliver to pantries that pass it along to needy people, but the economic upheaval caused by COVID-19 is expected to cause demand to skyrocket. Meeting the need would be tough enough, but the response has been complicated by a virus that requires people to avoid the kind of close interaction typical in food packaging and distribution. At the Northeast Community Fund, the staff has made the check-in process easier and safer by minimizing the hand-to-hand contact. The organization can no longer accept help from seniors and is asking for volunteers who are 59 or younger to sign up to volunteer on its website, northeastcommunityfund.org. "It's a quick and easy sign-up," Bacon said. "It saves a lot of time on our end for them to sign up and schedule themselves." The volunteers are limited to 10 per shift. The shifts are 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday, Tuesdays, Thursday, and Friday. Volunteers can sign up for one or two shifts. Residents are also encouraged to give money, but not food, clothing, or household donations, which are not being accepted. The virus is called a reversal in how pantries provide food, shifting from letting people select items in what amount to mini groceries to giving them a sack filled with food. Giving people control over what they select gives them dignity and reduces waste, but giving them pre-filled sacks enables quicker interactions with less chance of passing along the virus. The sacks also require a lot more work by staff and volunteers who must sort and package items. "We're getting through it," said Matt Unger, who heads the Des Moines Area Religious Council's network of 14 pantries. "We're going to do this as long as we can, as good as we can, until we run out of adaptations." The extra work comes even as pantries tell their many older volunteers to stay away. They also are accepting help only from smaller groups, rather than the 50 or 60 people from churches or service clubs who typically join to offer a night or weekend of free help. "Everyone needs to be spaced out with less interaction," said Kelly Ptacek, the vice president for external affairs at Omaha, Nebraska-based Food Bank for the Heartland. "We become less efficient as we pack those boxes, but I'll take less efficient operations over no operations." For most people, the virus causes only mild or moderate symptoms, such as fever and cough. For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness. Most people recover from the virus. In the Seattle area, which leads the nation in coronavirus deaths, getting volunteers at all has been difficult. Local news briefs. Breakfast rescheduled. The Herald and Review's Community Leaders Breakfast planned for April 2nd is being rescheduled. The event is now at 7 a.m. on Thursday, June 25th. Doors open at 6 a.m. The breakfast is at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel, 4191 U.S. Route 36. Call 309-820-3283 for more information. Police. Fleeing driver hit 90 miles per hour. Decatur. Police broke off a high-speed pursuit for safety reasons Tuesday evening after a fleeing driver hit speeds of 90 miles an hour on Decatur City streets, authorities said Wednesday. Decatur police reports said the chase began around 6:20 p.m. near the intersection of West Division and North Union streets. The pursuit was sparked by the lone male driver running a stop sign, and police had also noticed his suspicious behavior, police said. He had earlier drove past officers, and as he did so, he turned his body completely to the right, obviously trying to obscure his face, said Detective Sergeant Chris Copeland. He said the squad car, with its emergency lights activated, pursued the vehicle, which blew through a stop sign and turned northbound on Monroe. The pursuit was terminated as the pursued car was weaving in and out of traffic. Copeland said investigations to trace and arrest the driver continued Wednesday. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, March 19th, 2020. Please stay tuned.